Turn with me to John chapter 13. That's where we are this morning. John chapter 13. We're getting started into this chapter with verses 1 to 17, which we'll read in just a moment. Sometimes people do things that are just really surprising. So my parents live in the country in Alabama, and one day my neighbor, people have a good bit of land, you know, just like very open out there. And one day the neighbor was getting his lawn tractor off of a trailer and it slipped and it fell onto his leg and it pinned him to the ground. Very heavy thing. And it's the country. There was no one else in his house. The only other house nearby is my parents' house just next door. And then no other houses for a long way. The only one at home at their house was my mom. So she was the only one that could hear him yelling. She was the only one that could help. So she ran over there and she just lifted up that lawn tractor and he got his leg out and she put it down. And so later when we heard about this, we're like, Mom, how did you do that? Like, these things are really heavy. But she's like, well, he had to get out, so she just picked it up. So we tried to we tried to test this later. We got one of those machines, and we had her try to lift it up. She couldn't budge it, but in the moment, she had the strength, and she picked that thing up like it was nothing. I think that says something about her. She when something needed to be done, she just did it. She didn't think about anything else. She just knew what needed to be done, and she was determined to help someone in need, whatever it took. Now, in our passage today, we're going to see Jesus also do something that is very surprising. It's surprising to everyone. It is not an unusual feat of strength, like my mom. It is an unusual feat of humility. And it's very surprising. He puts himself into a position of a servant to serve others as they needed. He went all the way down to the very lowest position. He didn't let his pride get in the way, his desire to protect his dignity or win respect. This action, I think, tells us a lot about him, especially his determination to do whatever it takes to help in the needs of the people around him, including us, actually. Because I think this action that we see in this passage today is really a condensed picture of Jesus's whole life and mission on earth, humbling himself to serve others. It was very surprising what he does here, but then he teaches his disciples and he teaches us to follow his example. So let's take a look at John 13, 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not yet realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Amen. Now, as Colin said last week, we're moving now into the last section of the Gospel of John, which focuses on the last few days of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. And with this passage, we're starting into a section that focuses on Jesus' teaching before all of that happens. So before he goes to the cross. So chapters 13 to 17, pause the action and focus in on Jesus teaching his disciples before he goes to the cross. And what all of that is going to, he's sharing what the cross and everything that he's going to do will mean for our salvation, also for how we live in trust and obedience to him. So all of this teaching in these chapters is extremely important for us. And it starts here with this story of what Jesus does for his disciples. And I think maybe this story is a bit too familiar with us to really get the impact of the full effect of it. We kind of take it for granted. Oh yeah, you know, that time when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. We know about that. But to the disciples, this was not something that ever should have happened. There never should have been a time like this. This was not familiar. In fact, it broke every category in their heads, in their minds about what was appropriate, what was fitting. It was a complete reversal of all their expectations of the social order. The job of washing feet was basically the lowest job there was, only something to be performed by the lowest servant. If you're living in a world with dirt roads, with lots of animals traveling those roads, what's on the streets is not nice. And you're wearing sandals, your feet are going to be very dirty. This is a humiliating job. This is a job everyone wants to rise above. And here's Jesus, the Lord, the Master, the Teacher, the King of Heaven himself, the name above all names. And he's doing the job of the lowest servant. It doesn't feel right, doesn't feel appropriate. If anyone ought to be served and honored and treated with special dignity, it's Jesus. Just think of who he is. I mean, he's not just a king. He's not just a celebrity. He rules over all of history. He rules over all of creation, over all of heaven's armies. Everything that exists is his. Everything that has breath, including every human being, received that life from him. And that's all true. But what we see here is that Jesus did not come to earth to claim the best of everything we have, even though he has the right to do that. He didn't come to live in the most opulent palace that we can build him, or eat the best, I don't know, sticky toffee pudding that we can make for him, or the best tea, which is obviously berries, or whatever it is. He deserves all the very best that we can offer him. But he didn't come here to claim his rights. He came here with a mission to seek and save that which was lost. That's what he said. That's what he did. Like the good shepherd that goes after his wandering sheep, Jesus came after us in our sin. But to do that, the high king of heaven had to come very, very low, because that's where we were. If he was going to seek us, he had to come where we were. And we were very low in our sin. He had to humble himself. And this washing of feet is a picture of that journey of humility. But the reality is a lot bigger than the picture. I mean, Jesus' whole life is an act of humbling himself. God himself becoming part of his own creation, the unlimited creator, taking on human limitations. The entire direction of Jesus' life and mission was down. Down all the way from heaven's throne to be born in a stable, and then to serve his disciples, to serve many others, down all the way to a humiliating death on a cross. But of course, that wouldn't be the end of the story. Because Jesus knew exactly what he was doing with all of this downward humiliation, all of this downward service. And we get a glimpse of that here. And I think it's very important to look at what Jesus knew as he was doing this. And then we'll look at what Jesus did based on what he knew, and then what he calls us to do. So what Jesus knew, what Jesus did, and what he calls us to do. First, let's consider what Jesus knew. Several things here that John points out that Jesus knew. One is in verse 1. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Jesus is absolutely clear on his mission, why he's here, what he's doing, and the time, right time for everything. This is not just his mission. This is the mission of the Father in bringing salvation to people. He's not just aimlessly wandering. He has a clear mission of salvation. He will accomplish it. And knowing that mission, he now displays it to the disciples with this practical example, kind of a tangible demonstration of his whole purpose, not to be served, but to serve, even in the lowest ways. So he knows his mission, and that shapes his action here. It's not a random act. It is a declaration of what he's doing on earth. And it's a clear call for his disciples to follow him in the same mission, to join him. He knew his mission. Then in verses 2 and also in 11, we see that Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. We'll look at that actually more in detail next week. But I think it's good to take note that even knowing what Judas would do, he knew he would betray him. Jesus still washes his feet. I mean, I don't know. Can you imagine knowing what he's about to do? And he still washes his feet. I think it's an extreme. It's a radical act of love for an enemy. And Jesus did that on purpose. He knew what he was doing. So he knows his mission. He knows his enemy. But look at verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So, three things here that Jesus knows. Jesus knows his own authority given by the Father over all things. His authority is complete and it is secure. So out of that security of knowing that all things are under him, he can actually give himself away completely, do the lowest acts of service, even go to the cross, and he will still have all things under his power. All things. The feet that he washes are feet that he made. And later when he goes to the cross, the wood is his tree. The nails are his iron. The soldiers breathe with his life, and their strength is his gift. All things are under his power, under his authority, including the things that are even hurting him. How does he use his power and authority over all things? He uses it to serve, to save, because he knows his mission. He knows his mission, he knows his enemy, he knows his authority over all things, and now he knows as well where he's come from and where he is going. John tells us Jesus knew that he had come from God and was returning to God, so he didn't lose sight of who he is, of his identity. He knew that he was still the High King of Heaven, even as he is washing the mud and dust and animal dung off of the stinky feet of the disciples. He knows his position. He knows who he is. He knows where he's come from, the throne of heaven itself. He also knows where he's going. He's returning to God. He knows that before he goes there, he's going to go down even farther to the cross. But he knows that the cross is not the end. He will rise again. And after that, he will be exalted to heaven. He knows he's returning to the Father. He's returning to his throne. He will receive the inheritance of the nations. He will receive the reward of his sacrifice, the salvation his people brought to himself. He knows where he comes from. He knows where he's going. He knows the glory of it all. And John tells us that Jesus' knowledge of his mission, his authority, his identity, all of this knowledge drove him down in service. We've seen what Jesus knew. Now let's see that service that Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Look how John phrases this. We looked at what Jesus knew in verses 1 to 3. Look at verse 4. So he got up. from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. That little word at the beginning of verse 4. So, he knew all these things. He knew he has authority over all things. He knows where he come from. He knows where he's going. So, he got up and served. That little so is so significant. Jesus didn't serve in spite of all his knowledge, of his power and his position and his purpose. He served because of those things. His service flowed directly out of his knowledge of who he was and what he was here to do, what he was here to accomplish. He went down because he knew the heights from which he'd come, and he knew the heights to which he would return and to which he would bring us as God's children saved as well. He was able to come down to us in our need because his own high position was absolutely secure no matter how far down he went. No amount of humiliation, no amount of giving, even giving his own life could change that. He could give away literally everything and lose absolutely nothing. In fact, actually in giving himself all the way even to death, he only increased his treasure. He came down to rescue us and he brought us, you know, he brought himself so low on purpose, but the point was to bring us up from the bottom of our sin and the judgment that it deserved, our shame and all of it. He came down to us to bring us up, to pay the price for our sin, to bring us up to be citizens of heaven, even children of God himself. He came down to seek us, to save us, to bring us back up with him. He knew, and no matter how far down he went, even into the grave, he would lose nothing. His losses would only turn into far greater gain. He didn't have to do any of that. He could have stayed on the throne of heaven. He did this out of love. Verse 1 says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's a summary of what he's doing. That's a summary of what he does in his whole life, his whole mission. He is loving his disciples. He is loving us. And love gives itself for the good of others. And Jesus, as he lays down his life for the good of his people, even as he washes the feet of his disciples, like the very lowest servant of all, he does so knowing exactly where he's come from, exactly where he's going. He knows that his sacrifice, his humiliation, will lead to exaltation, will lead to gain, not only for himself, but for everyone of his children. Far beyond anything that he sacrifices is the gain that is much greater. He knows what he's doing. His disciples don't. They don't understand. Look at verse 6. Simon Peter says, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus says, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, you will never wash my feet, Peter says. He objects. He doesn't see it as fitting for Jesus, his Lord, to do this humble job for him. It breaks all his categories. But Jesus digs in really hard. He says, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. So this is very serious. It seems like a pretty surprising escalation of the conversation. But I think the reason Jesus says this is because the foot washing really is a symbol of something far, far greater. It's a picture of the way that Jesus will soon humble himself to serve them and us by dying on the cross for our sins. That's what this foot washing represents. And Jesus says, basically, I think you need to accept the gift that I'm giving in my humiliation. Not only the foot washing, but what the foot washing represents, the salvation that he is going to purchase for us on the cross. If you won't humble yourself and receive Jesus's humble service for you, then you have no part with him. You must humble yourself and accept the gift. If you try to preserve your dignity, if you try to preserve his dignity and keep the social order in place as you understand it, you're done for. You must receive the service of Jesus humbly as it is humbly given. You must allow him to serve you. There is no other way to be saved. So then Peter says, okay, Lord, that don't just wash my feet, but my hands and my head as well. I want every part of you that I can be. I want as close as you as possible, which is a great impulse. But Jesus says, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. And this can be a bit confusing. There's different ways of understanding this. I think this seems to be a sense here that Jesus is adding to the symbolism here, that the salvation that Jesus gives cleanses us fully. It does. From all of our sin, one sacrifice given for once and for all time to cleanse sin. That is enough. But there is also the reality that we must, as we live out that salvation in this world, we must continually accept the cleansing of Jesus in an ongoing way in our lives. Like those who have had a bath, they are clean, and yet they still have to wash their feet because they've been walking on those muddy roads in sandals. And I think for us today, if we accept Jesus' salvation, we are cleansed from our sin. We are clean. Because his forgiveness has cleansed us. And yet, we also must have this attitude of continually accepting the cleansing that Jesus gives from the sins that we continue to commit. So yes, we have salvation. We are secure in him. But also, we must continually seek the constant cleansing that Jesus alone can give. Like 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We need to be continually purified, made into the image of Christ. And that is a process that is ongoing in our lives. So we need to maintain the same attitude, not just to receive once the salvation that God cleanses us, but all to continue in that same attitude of humbly receiving the humble service of Jesus. We need his cleansing power, that salvation would continue to cleanse us from our sin. And we need to continually bring ourselves to Jesus for his cleansing power. And yet he says to his disciples, you are clean. He is the one who can cleanse us. His salvation is complete, and it works out in us, in our lives, as we continually depend on him. But he says, you are clean, though not every one of you. Jesus' cleansing is what we need. We can't let pride stop us from receiving that. But there's another point here I think we need to notice, that Judas, you know, is the one he's talking about that is not clean. But he's someone who has received the symbol. He has received the foot washing just like the others. He's received this spiritual symbol of salvation, but he's not saved. And that can happen for people today as well. They could be in church. They could receive the symbols that of like baptism or the Lord's table, and yet not have the reality that those symbols represent. Any more than Judas had the reality of faith and cleansing in Christ. He didn't. Even though his feet were washed, the symbol was given even by Jesus himself. We are not saved by religious actions, by religious rites, by religious rituals. What you need is Jesus and the cleansing that only he can give through belief and faith in him, through his forgiveness. You don't need any, and there's no form of religious activity that can substitute for that. We need the reality, not just the symbol. But if we receive the cleansing of Jesus through his humble service, then that has got to reshape our lives. That's got to reshape the direction of our lives. So we've seen what Jesus knew. We've seen what Jesus did. Let's look briefly at what Jesus told us to do. Because in verse 13, he said, you call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, that is what I am. And now that I, your teacher and your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus knew who he was, and that knowledge drove him to service. But I think the same can be true for us. Jesus tells us to follow his example. And like him, I think our acts of service can also be driven by our knowledge. Just like Jesus' acts were driven by his. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you've come from and where you're going? Now, of course, we're not Jesus. You are not the High King of Heaven. I am not the Messiah. So who are we? What can we know about ourselves that would drive us to serve like Jesus? Well, I think like Jesus, we can know where we've come from and where we're going. Where have we come from? We came from Jesus. We don't have his authority, but we have him. He made us fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, the Bible says. Our identity is found in the amazing reality of the God who made us and who loved us so much that he was willing to save us and bring us to himself. That we are now children of God in him if we've trusted in Christ. Jesus came to seek and save us when we were lost and when we had turned away from him, when we were his enemies. So if you're trusting in Jesus, his love has rescued you from sin and judgment. And now 1 Peter 2 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. If you're in Christ, that's who you are. That's where you come from. And that identity is absolutely secure in Jesus. Nothing in heaven and earth can shake it. Nothing can steal it. Nothing can take even one tiny bit of God's promises away from you. But that affects your future as well. It's not only where you come from, it's where you're going. In Christ, this is your identity forever. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 says. Heaven is now your home. It is where your citizenship is. It is where you belong. It is where you will absolutely live forever with Jesus, your Savior. If you are a Christian today, that is your future. That's where you're going. So do you know where you've come from? Do you know where you're going? If you know these things, then you can serve like Jesus does. And like Jesus, we can also know our mission. Jesus knew it was his hour. He knew it was his time to act in service, his time to give himself freely out of all the riches of who he was, that he could come down low and meet our needs. And remember, his service was pure love. He wanted our good, even at his own expense. And yet he gave himself, knowing that his giving would not impoverish him. It would not remove his position. His position was secure, his identity was secure, and we can give the same way. We can give also freely, knowing that the wealth of all of God's promises, of his presence with us, of our position in Christ, is absolutely secure. Jesus won these things for his children. Nothing can remove them. No matter how much we give here and now, even if we give our lives, even if we give absolutely everything, we would still lose nothing of God's promises. In fact, we would only gain by giving, like Christ, because we would see how God would use our service and our sacrifice and our giving to expand his kingdom, to bring others into the riches of Christ's salvation, how he would use it to make us more into the image of Christ. How he would use it to secure us an eternal reward, storing up treasure in heaven, as Jesus said. So in Christ, nothing can change your identity. Nothing can change your future. So you can know where you come from. You can know where you're going. You can know the mission that God has set before you, that he has invited you to enter into, the same mission that Jesus has secured. He's now bringing us into that. And in the strength of all of that, and that absolute security that we have, we can now know this is our hour of service. This is the time that God has put us on earth to give ourselves like Christ has given himself to fulfill God's mission of salvation in the world. He's won it, but he has invited us to join him in his same mission. We can now serve like Jesus. Now, he knew the cost of his sacrifice. He felt that fully, but he also knew the result of his giving. Hebrews says he even went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. And when we give ourselves for the Lord, we can enter into that joy as well. And that means we can give ourselves in service, no matter how humble it is. We can willingly do whatever needs to be done for the good of others out of love, even if that is the undignified jobs, like Jesus did, even if that is the unappreciated jobs, even if it's small things or seemingly behind the scenes things, even if it's cleaning the toilets. We don't have to wash the dirt off of people's feet the same way, but it could be in work doing the boring job, the boring paperwork. It could be dealing with the difficult customers. It could even just be going out of your way to talk to people that other people avoid, people that might be lower in social standing. And if you associate with them, other people will think less of you. But it's not about social standing. Jesus came to associate with us, to serve even in the lowest possible ways. So now we have, you have all the standing in the world in Christ as a child of God. Nothing can shake that. So you can give yourself. You don't need to bring your status up. You don't need to prove or make people respect you or dignify yourself in the eyes of others. You can give yourself in humble service, even if it means that people will look down on you. Because our goal is not what people will think of us. Our goal is to serve like Christ and love others like he did, to join him in his mission of bringing the riches of God's salvation to the people that he loves. You can willingly take the role of a servant, even if that means people start to look at you differently, even if they start to treat you differently. You know, nobody likes to be treated like a servant. It doesn't feel good. It kills our sense of pride. And that's not a bad thing. Jesus was willing to humble himself down to the very bottom, and we can join him in that, knowing that we will lose nothing. We will only gain. We have a joy set before us that is far beyond anything we could give up. We don't humble ourselves in service aimlessly like Jesus. We give with a mission to bring the riches of God's grace, to bring the riches of God's salvation to the people that he loves, to display his love, to enrich everyone we can with the wealth of his salvation that he's given us. We can't lose that wealth, but we can give it away freely. And the more we give away, the more we have. This is a joyful mission, even as it is a mission of giving up and serving. It is a mission of giving up and serving in the security of all that we have in Christ and the knowledge of all that it can mean for the future. You already have God's promises and presence with you if you are trusting in Christ. If you're not trusting in Christ today, that's the first thing to get sorted. But if you are trusting in him, you have all of that secured. You can never lose it, no matter how much you give. You can know where you come from. You can know where you're going. You can know that this is your hour of service where God has put you right now, at this time, in this place. He's given you a role and a part in his mission. So you can know, like Jesus, the result of your giving is not loss, The result of your humility and giving is incredible gain, far beyond anything you could ever gather up and hold on to in your own little lifetime here on earth. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Jesus said. He meant it, and he did it. This is the way, the path of deep joy, of satisfaction and meaning and purpose beyond anything that the world can offer you. You give, and yet you receive far more than you could ever give. Just like Jesus. Verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Let's pray. Lord, it's surprising, it's shocking even, the humility that you showed in bringing yourself so low to serve as the lowest servant. When you are the highest of all kings, the name above all names, to bring yourself down even to death on a cross, to pay for our sin, to lift us up to be your children, Lord. We could never thank you enough. We could never even understand the sacrifice that you made or the wealth of all that we have now in your promises. Lord, I pray that you would help our hearts to lean into our trust in you, to receive humbly the humble sacrifice that you have given for us, and to joyfully join you in your service of giving away just wonderful wealth of your love and all of your promises and all of your provision of salvation and everything for everyone that we can, Lord, that we would see others enriched by your grace as well. Lord, give us the strength to follow you, knowing these things and being blessed by doing them. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Close our service with the blessing that God gave in Numbers. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Our service is closed, but we'll go to tea and coffee now.